It's good to have you all with us. And love getting together with my family. We are starting a new series. And, I thought these words, I think my dad has used these words when I was growing up, the words, wise up. And so that's the title of this series and that we're going to start today. And we're going to be talking in the book of Proverbs. And let me ask you this. If God were to tell you, you can have anything you want, I'll give you one wish, whatever you want, what would you ask for? Would it be to win the lottery? Maybe it's to have a new body. If you're like me, you could use, some toning up and a little bit of height. Is it a new husband or a new wife or a new car? If God said, you can have anything you want, I'll give you one wish, what would you ask for? Well, there was one guy in the Bible that got that opportunity. His name was Solomon. His father was King David. He was the third king of Israel, Solomon was. And in 1 Kings 3, God said, Solomon, I've been watching your life. You can have one thing. What do you want? Fame? Pleasure? Power? Possessions? What do you want? And Solomon said, I want wisdom. God was so pleased with that. He said, not only am I going to give you wisdom, but you're going to get everything else too that you didn't ask for. And Solomon became the wisest man who ever lived. He wrote a book in our Bible called Proverbs. And the theme of Proverbs is wisdom. It looks at things like money and sex and power and family and friends and career, success and failure and aging and conflict. And we're going to look at it from a topical viewpoint over the next several weeks. I'm not going to give you the amount because I might go over that. So, but the major themes of the book of Proverbs, that's what we're going to go through and look at. Solomon said the key to really having it all is to wise up. And that's what we're calling this series. In Proverbs 4, 7 through 8, and this is in the Good News Version, translation or whatever, it's at the top of your outline. It says, getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. Whatever else you get insight. Love wisdom and she will make you great. So what is wisdom? Well, it's not knowledge. You know, we're kind of in a knowledge explosion in today's world. There's a lot of information. All you got to do is ask Siri or Google Assistant. We'll be sitting around the table and mom will go, so what's the weather like in Bangladesh? No, not that, but, ask your phone. So we live in this generation where there's a lot of information. But you can be an educated fool. You can have a lot of degrees and not make any sense. Just watch some of the talk shows. Can you have an IQ and not be wise? Sure. You can have a high IQ and make dumb decisions. Not intellect. It's not knowledge. Wisdom isn't even common sense. It's much more than that. And so a definition that I heard about 20 years ago, I think, really applies. It was this. Wisdom is seeing and responding to life from God's perspective. Wisdom is seeing and responding to life from God's perspective. An attitude and an action. It's a skill that you can develop. The problem is that we don't usually respond to life from God's perspective. In fact, Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in death. Have you ever heard anybody say, I just kind of go with my natural instincts, my natural inclinations? Whoops, maybe I brushed it or something. Sorry about that. That's just in case some of you already fell asleep on my second page. Sorry. But people say, I just go with my natural inclinations. I just do what I feel. Well, the Bible says that's dumb. The Bible says that your natural inclinations are normally wrong. And there is a way that seems right, but it ends in a dead end. Now, Diane and I, we enjoy riding our side by side in the up in the woods and stuff like that. And John, I don't know if you've ever done this on yours, but you know, I look at the map ahead of time, and then I don't need it. Okay, and so I've taken a dirt road before, and I've gone back into the mountains for many miles, and it's been rough. You know, not a fun trail. It was kind of rough and slow and stuff. And we've been traveling this road for maybe over an hour, and all of a sudden we realize it's going nowhere. It comes to a dead end. Somebody has a campsite there. We're like, oh, because I like to go in like in a circle when I'm riding. And so we've been traveling this road, and we realize it's going nowhere. So Diane asked me, and I said, yeah, the map showed that there was a road there. A lot of people are going nowhere fast in life because they're not wise. You know, wisdom is seeing and responding to life from God's viewpoint. What will it do for me? In Proverbs 3:16-18, the Bible tells us wisdom is more valuable than precious jewels. Nothing you could want can compare with it. Wisdom offers you long life, wealth, and honor. It can make your life pleasant and lead you safely through it. Those who become wise are happy. So what will wisdom do for me? A lot more than you think. And that's what we spend our lives trying to get: long life and wealth and honor and pleasure and security and happiness. God says they're all wrapped up in learning to be wise. How can God promise me health and a longer life if I'm wise? Because when you're wise, it reduces the stress in your life. If you have healthier habits, you get involved in fewer accidents because you do wise things, so you live longer. You know, I read an insurance actuary report one time, and it said that people who join a church and attend every week live on an average of 6.7 years longer than the rest of the population. Gives you a long life. Right, Lois? Attends church every week. It gives you a long life. There's a lot of principles of health in the book of Proverbs. That verse talks about wealth. How would you like to have God as your financial planner? You know, part of the reason I'm doing this series in Proverbs is because I met with Wendell. And Wendell is a financial coach. And we were talking about some of his new financial coaching ministry, and we were looking at Proverbs. So Wendell, it's your fault we're doing this series. We're going to look at five foundations for financial freedom. They're in the book of Proverbs. Honor. How does wisdom bring honor? You don't put your foot in your mouth as often. You know, and you know the right thing to do in every situation. That verse talks about pleasure. Living according to God's wisdom makes life easier. Most of the problems you have in your life, you bring on yourself from dumb decisions. And when you're wise, it eliminates a lot of the problems that you normally bring on your life. Life gets easier when you're wise. The verse talks about security. It will make your life safe. Wisdom gives a sense of security and self-confidence and peace of mind. All of a sudden, you're in control of the situation. You're not a reactor, but you're an actor. Things don't control you, but you control things when you're wise. And those who become wise will be happy. You know, Solomon asked for wisdom, and God said everything else he could ever want is wrapped up in wisdom. He asked for the right thing. They are all part of the package. So this morning, I want to kind of whet your appetite for this series. The key to life is to get God's wisdom. It brings all these things into your life: long life, wealth, honor, pleasure, safety, and happiness. How do I get it? By reading the National Enquirer? Nope. By watching Oprah? Nobody's saying yes on that one. By buying a New Age crystal? By listening to Rivera? Have you ever heard of the Primal Scream Therapy? I don't know if they still use that. That's just where you can just scream. Problem is, God didn't give me a scream voice, so mine just sounds like a primal groan. Maybe it's by TV or Dr. Phil. There's only one reliable source of wisdom. If you want to be wise, you've got to go to the source. And the source is God's Word. God's Word. So, anybody have their Bibles with them today? Okay. Here's a quick way to get to Proverbs. Kind of put your thumbs right in the middle and open it up. Now, I'm not sure where yours opened up at. Mine opened up at Psalms, so I would take a right and go right to Proverbs. Maybe yours opened up to Ecclesiastes or Song of Solomon. Now, that's a good read, but save that for later. If it did, you turn left, or Isaiah. For those of you who don't have a Bible, there should be one in one of the chairs in front of you. And I would encourage you to get it and try opening it up. But I even left breadcrumbs for you in there. There's a little Echo Mountain. Oh, you found it. Wendell found the breadcrumb. There's an Echo Mountain invite card that will help you find it. So I would encourage you, if you have a Bible, bring it. Because we're going to be focusing on this book of Proverbs. And if you don't, you're welcome to use one of the ones under the chair in front of you. In fact, if you don't have a Bible at all, I'd like you to take it with you. I love giving away stuff that doesn't belong to me. But I'd like you to take it with you. So, during this series, we're going to be focusing in the book of Proverbs. I'd encourage you to bring your Bibles and have that available. The first thing is to read God's Word. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon starts it off. And if you found Proverbs, look at the very first beginning verse. In verses 2 and 3, or actually 2 through 4. I'm just going to read it out of mine. It might be a little bit different in yours. But basically, Solomon gives us in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, he gives us the purpose of the book of Proverbs. And here's the purpose. He says their purpose, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These Proverbs will give insight to the simple knowledge and discernment to the young. Knowledge and discernment to the young. So basically Solomon says he wrote these Proverbs to teach his people how to live, how to act in every circumstance. And they can teach you how to live intelligently. That sounds like something good to be a part of, right? We all want that. How many of you would like to know how to act in every circumstance in life? Anybody? I would. Yeah, how many of you would like to live intelligently? Yes? You know, the Bible can save you a lot on your counseling bill. We look at all the different sources, the fads, the therapies. 56 of all the people who go to therapy are baby boomers. So we're looking for something. People are looking for something. And when it comes down to it, there's really only two sources of wisdom in life. It's either the world or the Word. You'll get your insights on life from one of two places. And what God says or what the world says. The world will tell you all kinds of contradictory things. All the founders of modern psychology, Freud and Maslow and Jung and Rogers and James, and every one of them would disagree with each other. The wisdom of the world, the Bible says, is like foolishness to God. You have a basic source of wisdom, and that's in God's Word. How many of you believe everything you watch on TV? Yeah. Okay. How many of you believe everything you read in a newspaper? Does anybody even read a newspaper anymore? You know, how about online? Do you believe everything you... How many believe everything you see in the Bible? I do. Why do we spend more time listening to and reading what we don't believe than reading what we do believe? It doesn't make sense. You read God's word. You know, this is the owner's manual for life. When in doubt, read the instructions. I know, guys, that's hard to do. But it helps a lot. If you want to be wise, you've got to get into this book, God's word. But it takes more than reading the book. It takes more than studying it. I know people who are walking encyclopedias of biblical knowledge. They read it and they study it and they memorize it. And they can quote scripture and they're as neurotic as they can be in spite of it. You know, they've got a walking knowledge of the Bible, but they're nuts. It takes more than just Bible knowledge. And that's why you go to step two. And step two is you do what it says. Chuck and I were talking about this morning. I didn't tell him, but he was preaching my sermon to me. You do what it says. Proverbs 7, and if you're in Proverbs, you can kind of thumb over to the right. Just take a little right and go to chapter 7. Proverbs 7, 1 and 2 says, never forget what I tell you to do. Do what I say and you will live. Be careful to follow it. Here's a little rabbit trail. Do you know why I encourage you to bring your Bible? Do you know why Pastor Mike encourages you to bring your Bible? Because you shouldn't take everything that I say as being gospel. You should check up on me. You should read your own Bible and find out for sure. Okay, that's enough for that. This book is worthless to you. This Bible is worthless if it just sits on your coffee table. It's worthless to you even if you just read it. It's worthless if you don't apply it into your life. And Solomon says two things in this verse. He says, first, never forget, remember, memorize. That's how you can remember it. When was the last time you memorized a verse in the Bible? Have you ever memorized a verse in the Bible? Why do you think you have so many problems? God's word is wisdom, but it does no good sitting on a shelf. There are all kinds of practical insights in God's word. So it says, he says in this verse, never forget. And then he says, do what it says or follow it, apply it. You've got to become a living Bible. First, you commit it to memory. Then you commit it to action. And that's how you become wise. You read God's word and then you do what it says. Let's say you're going to go on an airplane trip to London. I've never been to London. I've been to London Bridge over at Havasu. But let's say you're going on an airplane trip to London. And the flight from Phoenix goes to L.A., and then it goes over the Arctic Cap, Canada and Greenland. And let's say that over the Arctic Circle, the plane crashes, and miraculously, you survive. And right before it crashes, the stewardess passes out to everybody a little booklet on how to survive in a snowstorm. She was prepared. So you're there in the Arctic Circle with yourself and a book on how to survive in the Arctic Circle. You could read the book over and over and over and still freeze to death. You've got to do what it says. James 1:22 says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. If you want the secret to an effective life in one sentence, that's it. Don't just listen. Don't just hear it. Do what it says. A lot of Christians, a lot of church attenders are deceiving themselves. They think they're making it. They come to church and they sit and they hear all these good things and it goes in one ear and out the other. They walk out and they've forgotten it by the time they got home. Much less try to apply it. So the Bible says when I do that, I'm deceiving myself. I'm kidding myself. It takes more than just reading it or coming to church and hearing it on Sunday. I've got to apply it in my life. I've got to practice it. That's what helps me become a wise person. Here's the third thing. The third step is I get to know God. You know, when Solomon starts off his book, he summarizes it. He says, get wisdom, and you do it by reading God's word. Do what it says and get to know God. Develop a relationship. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, how does a person become wise? The first step is to trust and revere the Lord. It's foolish to try to live your life ignoring the one who made you. You were created for a reason. Your Creator has a plan for your life. It's ridiculous to try to live life ignoring the very one who created you. You ought to trust the Lord. That's a starting point in becoming wise. Trust the Lord. Who are you trusting this morning? What are you trusting to give you daily guidance? Is it the horoscope? Is it stock market projections or your own natural instincts? The Bible says that that is a dead end. And it seems right, but it leads to all kinds of problems. Why do people make foolish financial decisions? Why do people walk into marriages that are doomed from the start? Why do people start habits that they know eventually are going to kill them? Why do people take more on in their schedule than they can handle? Why do people buy things that they don't need, don't even like? Why do people have an affair and think it won't matter? Why do people fail to prepare for death when they know it's inevitable? Why do people procrastinate accepting Christ when he offers them tremendous benefits and they know it? Proverbs sums up all those questions with one answer in one phrase. It's a lack of wisdom. When you lack wisdom, you make dumb decisions and you pay the results. Proverbs 9:10 says, for the reverence and fear of God are basic to all wisdom. Knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. Notice the word fear. Are we supposed to fear God? You know, I thought God loved me. You know, he does. Fear simply means to take God seriously. He's not your big buddy upstairs. You know, he's not your big brother in the sky. God is not your co-pilot. He's not co-anything, you know. He's God. He's a creator, so we need to take him seriously. Then he says, knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. Do you know God this morning? Not do you know about God, you know. Do you know God? Knowing God means more than knowing facts about God. The Bible says, you believe God exists. Big deal. So does the devil, and you won't find him in heaven. I believe in Lenin, but I'm not a communist. I believe in Hitler, but I'm not a Nazi. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I am a Christian. Why? Because it's more than knowing about him. Yes, I know him. I have a personal relationship with him. I've committed my life to him. And that's what it means to know God. So how can I get to know God? That's what Jesus Christ came to do. It's very hard to relate to an invisible God, a big force in the sky. How do you relate to that? I need to see a God with flesh and bones on him. I need to see how he'd act in my situation. So God came to earth. If God had wanted to communicate with birds, he'd become a bird. You know, if God had wanted to communicate with dogs, he would have become a dog. If he wanted to communicate with monkeys, he'd have been a monkey. You know, ants don't understand me. If I want to talk to them, I have to become an ant to talk like ants. But God wanted to communicate to human beings, so he became one. And that human being was called Jesus Christ. God came to earth in the form of a human being for 33 years, so we can say, oh, that's what God's like. I could look at God through Jesus Christ's life. That's how you get wisdom about life. We talked about it on Easter. It was such an amazing event that all of history is divided by that single event into AD and BC. You don't believe in Jesus Christ as God? Every time you write out a check, you write a date on it. Anybody write checks anymore? Not very many. But even people who don't deny that he was God are using Christ as a reference point because he was the most important event in history. God came to earth. Jesus Christ shows us. He models how to be wise in life. I can look at him and say, that's what God's like. He's loving and kind and considerate. And he has a plan for my life. Now, if you had told me about 40 years ago that someday I'd be standing up in front of a church, in front of a bunch of people talking about God as a pastor of a church, I'd have told you, you're crazy. That was the furthest thing from my mind. But one day, Diane and I went to a missions conference. And I saw people who were serving God in many different areas. And I started crying in my seat and I told God, I don't know what you want me to do, but I would love to be able to serve you full time. It wasn't the Bible that really caused me to want to serve God full time. It was other Christians. These people were just ordinary people, but they had something different. They had committed their lives to serving God. I didn't think I could be a pastor, but I had this overwhelming desire to serve God and to love people. We prayed that evening, and after that prayer, what happened? Nothing. You know, there was no thunder, no lightning, no bells ringing, no angels came down and fluttered around. It was just a matter of fact decision that I made in my life. I got up and I walked away, and that was the turning point in my life. The more I began to understand what I'd done that day, the more excited and more happy I got about it. Kind of a delayed reaction. When I got married, I stood up in front of a bunch of people and I said, I do. Two words that changed my life. Keith and Margaret, you remember having a Cadillac at your wedding? Yeah. The Cadillac was actually a donkey, but I don't think anybody could ride it if they're over a certain weight. Anyway, I said, I do. Two words that changed my life. I had no idea what I was doing when I said those two words. I had no clue. You know, the rest of my life, I'm working out the implications of two words. I remember after the wedding, we were heading to Lake Coeur d'Alene for our honeymoon, and I was thinking, I don't feel married. You know, just a couple hours ago, I said I do. It's like, I don't feel any different. But it didn't matter whether I felt it or not. We were married. That's the way it was when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. It sounded like the reasonable thing to do. I was 7 years old, and I knew I was a sinner, and I said, I do to God. And the rest of my life, I'm working out the implications when I said yes to Jesus Christ. Friends, if you haven't done that, you can do that today. You can have that same relationship. God made it so simple. Jesus made it so simple. Nobody could say it was too hard to understand. You just say yes to God. Yes, be number one in my life. Yes, help me know and understand your plan. If God were to give you this morning one request, what would you ask for? I hope now you'd ask for wisdom. It says that nothing you could ever want could compare with wisdom. It offers life, wealth, honor. It will make your life pleasant. It will lead you safely through life. Those who become wise are happy. So I want to challenge you. Most of you here this morning are Christians. You've already opened up your life to Christ. You've said yes to God. I want to challenge you to make wisdom the goal for the rest of your life. I want to know God. I want to read the Word. I'm going to do the Word, and I'm going to get to know God. It's not one of the things that I'll do along with ballet class or golf games, get a little wisdom on the side. Make it the goal of your life. Don't let anything stop you. Spend time with God, whether anything else counts. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. The verse we opened up, Proverbs 4, 7, and 8, says, whatever else you do, whatever else you get insight. Love wisdom, and she will make you great. Be determined to be wise. So if you want to take this serious, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. Don't you guys love that? Homework. This is good homework. There are 31 chapters in that book that I had you open up to. 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And I want you to read a chapter a day for a month. For 31 days. One chapter a day. The first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs are Solomon's advice to his son. And he talks primarily about the importance of wisdom. He spends 2 or 3 chapters about avoiding immoral women. Don't get bogged down in the first 9 chapters, okay? Just read it. And then the next 15 chapters are advice to everyone. It's full of advice about everything and anything in life. A lot of it's kind of humorous and funny, you know. The last 7 chapters of the book deal with advice to leaders. And we're going to go through the whole book together by themes and by topics. And there are contrasting proverbs and correlating proverbs. And you might start a binder and write the verses you find on anger or on being wise or on marriage or on parenting or on work. Make yourself kind of a topical version of the book of Proverbs. And I encourage you in your Bible to use a pen or use a highlighter. And when you're reading through, if there's a verse that stands out that just kind of, I don't remember that. You know what's interesting? I've read the Bible so many times, and every time I read it, God brings out something new. And I'm like, wow, I highlighted this verse right here, and right next to it, this is powerful. Why didn't I see that? God will do that. So I encourage you. I challenge you to read through one proverb each day, just on your own. What kind of grip do you have on life? Have you got a solid grip? You know, everything's fantastic, everything's going good, the Lord's working in your life, or would you say you're kind of losing your grip? Some of you would say you've lost your grip. Your life is totally out of control. It's going downhill, and there's things I don't have a handle on. Isn't it about time that you wise up? The wisest thing I ever did, I did when I was 7 years old. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:24, Christ is the wisdom of God. If you want to know what wisdom is, look at Jesus Christ. He embodies it. He personifies it. That's what it means to wise up and get a grip on life. If you've never done that, today's the day. Say yes to God today. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, as we begin this series through the book of Proverbs, help us not to just be hearers of your word, but to be doers of it and put it into practice and to apply it in our lives. You've said that getting wisdom is the most important thing we can do because it prevents us from making stupid decisions that cause so many problems in our life. Lord, my prayer is that as we study this book, you would teach us to be wise. To be wise parents, to be wise partners in our marriages, to be wise professionals at work, to be wise people. Help us to read your word, but more than just to read it, to remember it. To never forget it, to memorize verses that speak to us, and then to do what it says. So we won't deceive ourselves thinking that we're growing when we're not. Most of all, Lord, help us to get to know you better, to reverence and trust you. You've said that knowing you results in every other kind of understanding. If you're here today and you've never invited Jesus Christ in your life, you've never said yes to God, why don't you do it right now? Just say yes to him right now in your heart. It doesn't matter the words you say. What matters is the opinion of your heart, your attitude. You might just say in your heart, Jesus Christ, I don't understand it all, but I want you in my life. Just say that in your heart. You might say, would you help me out? Would you be number one, the manager of my life? I know I've done wrong, and I ask you to forgive me. I've made some dumb decisions, but I want to get to know you. I believe that you are the Son of God. You came to earth. You were crucified for me and rose again on Easter. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Amen. I believe if you sincerely prayed that prayer, that God heard you. If you meant it, this is the beginning of a brand new life called the Christian life. You've taken the first step in a long journey. If you've already made that decision this morning, I invite you to pray with me. God, I want you to make wisdom a life. I want to make wisdom a life goal, to become a wise person by reading and applying your word. Help us, Father, to be wise people, to be a wise church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.